amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Ruth in chapter 1. Ruth in chapter 1 on Wednesday nights. I know I've been gone for a couple of Wednesday nights with the vacation and the Bible conference I was at. And just praise the Lord for a good staff that I know that whenever they have opportunity to preach, they always look forward to it, and I know that they're going to do a good job in preaching the word and being able to feed the flock of God that's here. And so it's just a blessing to have that confidence when I'm gone. But in the book of Ruth, we've been studying the life of Ruth. And when you first start reading this, it seems like it's more about Naomi than it is Ruth. But God wants us to look at this book of the Bible from Ruth's perspective, because there's so much here for us to learn from the life of Ruth. I trust it has been a help to you already as we've studied quite a few messages on in the first chapter of Ruth. Tonight we're actually going to reread verse 22 and read down chapter 2 to verse 3. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to start reading in verse 22 and then read three verses in chapter 2. The Bible says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth and the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned on the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, it is a blessing to be in your house. And God, as we have opportunity to assemble ourselves together, and Lord, we thank you for what we've already received and just being in church tonight. But Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for each and every one of us tonight. And Lord, I don't know exactly what you have for each one, but I know you have a message for us. And so I pray for each one that you'd give us the ear to hear exactly what you have to say, and that, Lord, help us to just be open to what you have to say to us individually and us as a church. Pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, the last lesson, we found that Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem and was greeted by the people. And Ruth, as she addressed and the people addressed her, or Naomi, as the people addressed her as Naomi, you could tell that there was a bitterness in her spirit. And she told them not to call her Naomi, and because of her bitter spirit. Now, as we look after that, we find in verse 22, the key to what takes place in what we're studying here tonight is found in when the Bible says, it was in the beginning of barley harvest. It was in the beginning. Now, she goes back in the beginning of barley harvest, which would have been a very joyous occasion for those in Bethlehem and those in Israel. They had worked hard to get to this place, and now it's harvest time. And they would always rejoice in harvest time. But as we look here, we find that both those that the Bible has been revealing to us concerning Ruth, okay, the character that this book is written after, and Naomi, her mother-in-law, both of them made the right decisions. And the decision, according to the will of God for their life, was to leave Moab and go to Bethlehem. God's will. Whenever you find yourself where God wants you to be, then look around you. God has a blessing in store for it. You know, and so praise the Lord that they made the right decision, even though when Naomi comes back, she made the right decision, but she still has a bitter spirit. both of them was where God wanted them to be. First of all, here, as we look at Naomi, Naomi was one of God's children. She was one of the Hebrews that was in the land, and God was judging the land of Israel. And instead of looking to God and getting whatever it was that God wanted them to learn through the judgment, through the trials, the drought that was in the land, Elimelech, her husband, and her two sons fled the land. And so we find that Naomi would have been part of a rebellion against the will of God. They ran from God's will for their life, which would have been to stay in Israel, to stay in Bethlehem. But they left Bethlehem running from God. And possibly, as the Bible reveals to us, that we can enjoy sin for a season, but God does not allow his children to get by with sin on a regular basis. God does not have us here to do our own thing. God saves us to be able to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish, his will for our lives. And so we find that Naomi and her family possibly enjoyed being out of Israel and enjoyed the land of Moab for a season, but it was not long after they were there that they experienced God's judgment. First of all, as we've already studied, she lost her husband. She had to have a funeral service for her husband, but she stayed. Her boys, at this particular time now, are grown, and they have already met a couple girls there, the Moabites, which were lost, which would not have been God's will that they would marry. But they would have been the main reason that she would stay in Moab, again, still out of the will of God. And we find that God takes both of her sons at somewhat at this very same time. And so she experienced judgments in 10 years that she was running from the will of God and living in the land of Moab. She experiences three funerals. She then returns, and she returns, and she says that she left full, and she returns empty and bitter. But she still returned. You know, sometimes we don't feel like doing right. But when you do right, even though you don't feel like doing right, there's still blessings. Now, you're going to be limited because you have to get your spirit right as well. But just doing the right thing, whether you feel like doing the right thing or not, is still a right thing to do. And so she is back in the land. She's back in Israel. None of this would have happened if she would have stayed in Israel. And she realizes that somewhat. She's still bitter, but she realizes maybe she was thinking, God, I wish you'd have taken my life. I've not had to experience a loss of a child. I have experienced a loss of a niece and niece at a very young age, and other family members, but I think the hardest thing it would be for a parent to have to bury their children, to experience the death of a child. That's just, it can have lasting effects. There's no doubt about that. You'd never get over that. You never forget that. She had to do that. And maybe she would have rather that God would have taken her life. I can identify with that. I think all of us could. We would rather God take our life than to take the lives of our children. We would rather not have to go through losing a child. So we find that she is not where she needs to be as far as her spirit. She's bitter, but physically, she's back in her homeland. She's back in the will of God physically. That's a start. Just doing the right thing until you feel like doing it. Don't let feelings keep you from doing the right thing. There's blessings in doing the right thing even though you don't feel like it. If you continue to do the right thing, you'll find that the blessings will come. And the spirit will change. So she's back. Never too late. You might come back scarred with more scars. As long as you're alive, there's never too late to repent. Get back in the will of God. Well, that was Naomi. And then there's Ruth. Ruth is with her, but Ruth was a lost Moabitess. Ruth did not even know about the God of heaven. She was raised to believe in Baal. She was raised to believe that you do whatever you want to do. There's really no right and wrong when it comes to morality. You just do what you feel like it's right to do, and you just play the religious, by the religious rules of whatever that religion sets up for you. There's a lot of religious people who need to get saved. Ruth would have been one of those. She needed to get saved, but she didn't know God. God knew of her. She didn't know God. Well, we find that she meets one of Naomi's sons. Now, we don't know exactly when she got saved, when she put her faith and trust in the God of Israel. I believe it was after she lost her husband, which would have been one of Naomi's sons. During that ordeal of losing a husband, and Naomi would have shared with her about how that she knew it was her fault possibly because of the judgment of God and that they were the children of God. This is what happened to them. And yet we find that Naomi still had faith in her God, and that was just enough for Ruth to say, that's real. My religion is somewhat phony. We just go through the motions. We show up on Sunday and then leave and do whatever we want to do and not have any convictions and not have any restrictions, no standards, no morality. She saw something that was real. And so this lost Moabitess, Ruth, in whom God had future plans for, and we'll see as we continue on with the study in the book of Ruth, she got saved. Now, with her getting saved, the only one that she knew that was a Christian is Naomi. So Naomi is her only connection to God. And so because of her connection with God, her belief in God, she is now going to stay as close to Naomi as she can so that she can learn all that she can about the God of Israel. So she's seeking God. And she knows if she is going to learn and to receive all that God has for her, she needs to go with Naomi back to Israel. She doesn't understand everything like Naomi does, but she does understand that she's saved and she believes that Naomi's God is a true God. She wants him to be her God, and she wants to learn all she can. And so now they're both back in Israel and Bethlehem, in the will of God for their lives. One was a backslidden sinner who repented. The other was a newborn babe. But both of them now back in Israel. Well, the problem now is that they're destitute. They wanted to seek God. They're back in the where God wanted them to be. Both of them realize this is where God wants them to be. I know I'm in God's will, but how are we going to survive? They don't have anything. Naomi, by her own testimony, she returns empty. She lost everything. She lost her wealth. She lost her family. She lost everything she had. And she comes back bitter, broke, but she's back where God, where she knew that God wanted her to be. Fighting it, possibly tooth and nail, but she wanted to go ahead even though she didn't feel like it. She was bitter. She knew that's where she needed to be. But they're destitute. Both widows in need. That's what we find. That's what we find now. Look in verse 22. They find themselves here, and the Bible says, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Can I tell you that God controls the circumstances of our life? God controls the timing God created time for humanity. Do you know after the millennial reign that there will be no more time? There is no time in eternity. There's no alarm clocks. There's no having to get out of bed. There's no going to sleep. Amen? You don't get tired. Heaven, we're not going to have the sun. It's a different environment. It's a different body. It's a glorified body. It's a different body. It's a different atmosphere. It's a new heaven and a new earth. Things will be a little different, but we can't imagine how good it's going to be. Sometimes you say, well, you know, there are no marriages. I think more, my marriage is something that one of the greatest things in this life. Can I tell you that your life in heaven is going to surpass that beyond your beliefs? The relationships that we'll have in heaven will far exceed all the relationships, any relationship you have in this life. It'll go beyond grandchildren. That's just what God tells us. There's no more sea. There's no sun. The light is going to come from God himself, the Lamb. All the things that God tells us about heaven, it's just kind of just a little bit to be able to let our imaginations run wild and to think you cannot have too high of expectations of heaven. You don't know about my, I don't care. You can't have too high. You can expect whatever you want to expect, and it will far exceed your greatest expectations. In relationships, in activities, in whatever it might be, that's heaven. That's heaven. Yeah. God controls all the circumstances of this life. He controls the timing of this life. And timing is everything. It really is. God knew exactly what time it was going to be when they returned in his will. It was going to be barley harvest. And they could not have returned at a better time for God to work his plan in their lives. Harvest time. God controls the circumstances of our lives. Look for joy and blessings when making right decisions. See, one of the first things that they would have had, that Naomi would have had, and understanding this is going to help her to get rid of her bitterness. But when you make right decisions and you find yourself in the center of what you believe to be God's will for your life, there is fellowship with God. You can't put a price tag on fellowship with God. If you're saved, you have a relationship with God. You can never lose that relationship. You're his child. He's your heavenly father. Jesus is your savior. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. That is a relationship that every believer has with God. But along with that relationship, you can have fellowship. The relationship is automatic. Fellowship is not. When you get married, the relationship is automatic. Enjoying the relationship is not. Amen? That's that fellowship. There's a huge difference of being in the same house with a husband or a wife when you're in good fellowship with than when you're out of fellowship with. The relationship never changes. But the fellowship can. She has a renewed fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, let me just read it to you. Very well familiar passage of Scripture. I praise the Lord for it. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie Oh, no, you don't. You have a relationship with him. You could be saved, but you don't have fellowship with him if you're not in his will. If you're not doing what God wants you to do and commands you to do, if you're not serving God as God would have you to serve him, no matter how much you want to believe you have fellowship with God, you do not have fellowship with God if you are not in his will. So he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you're going to have fellowship with God. You've got to go to where he's at. He's not coming where you're at. He's not coming into the darkness. There's no darkness in him. You have to get rid of the darkness in your life and live in the light. And when you're in the living in the light, that's where he's at. And so the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Not only with God, we have fellowship one with another. Everyone else that's living in the light, walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That means that I've got the relationship. But sin causes me to get out of the fellowship of the relationship. Well, if I repent and get back into the light, then his blood washes away the darkness and I have great fellowship. Yeah. So we find here that both of them have reason to rejoice if they just understand it. I am in the will of God. I am doing what God wants me to do right now. So I have fellowship with God. That's a joy. No matter what else is going on in your life, no matter if you think it was a good move or a bad move, but you said, I know it's God's will. I'm doing what God would have me to do. Listen to me. There is fellowship with your obedience to God. Restored fellowship with God. And the other thing there, that when you're in the will of God, it's like harvest time. There's opportunity for joy. There's opportunity to rejoice. You have this fellowship. You also have the hope of God's care. Did you understand that? Did you hear that? You have this biblical hope, which God gives us and tells us he's going to meet your need. He's going to take care of you. Cast all your care upon him because he careth for you. And when you're in fellowship with God, then you position yourself for the blessings of God and for the promises of God. If you're in fellowship. Yeah. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's in the light, and all these things shall be added unto you. The book of Philippians in chapter 4, it says this in verse 19. You know it well, I'm sure. I love the book of Philippians. It's a book of joy. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you're in fellowship with God, then you can claim that verse. And you can realize that no matter how destitute you might be right now, if you're in the will of God, you can expect God to take care of your need. Wow. No matter how far you have strayed away, 10 years of backslidden, losing a husband and two children, 10 years, Naomi's now back. A little bitter, but she's back. There is a bright future for Naomi. Amen. Ruth, a newborn babe in Christ, a new believer in God. Now she knows she's in the will of God. She knows she's where she, it's all new to her. She doesn't understand a lot going on, but she knows that she's where God wants her to be. Listen to me, there is blessing there. They might be destitute, but not for long, because they're in the will of God and willing to do what God has for them to do. And because they are willing to do what God tells them to do, they have this promise that they can claim that God will take care of you. Can I tell you that you might have strayed some distance from God? You have lost some things, maybe some scars, some things that Satan has worked in your life. But if you turn back to him, no matter how long it's been, no matter how far you've gone, there's hope. Repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of direction, a change of life. If this is the will of God right here, and I'm walking away from God, I can stop and repent here, and I can turn back to him. There's hope. I'm close. I don't have a whole lot to have to overcome to get back to where I want to be, and that is walking as close to God as I can be. But there's hope because I'm facing him. If I've not repented, I'm still walking farther away from him. This might be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Now I'm over here. There's no hope at all going this direction. I'm just going to get worse and worse till God is going to eventually, if he sees I'm not going to turn around, he'll take me on to glory if I'm saved. I might be 10 years away, and then I realize, where am I going? God wants me back in Bethlehem. She repented. She turned. God's perfect will for her, God's close will for her is farther away, but there's hope now. Why is there hope? Because I'm going in the right direction now. There's no hope at all if I continue going this direction, but if I repent and I turn back to the right direction, I might be 10 years out, but there's hope, and I can continue to look to God, and he'll continue to supply my need. He'll continue to fellowship with me and help me to get back to where he wants me to be all along. That's what's going on. That's what's going on with Ruth and Naomi. It's harvest time. Chapter 2. Go back there with me now. Everybody following me so far? Yeah. Well, back in chapter 2, the Bible records a kinsman. There's no indication that Ruth knew about Boaz as of yet. She won't be introduced to Boaz until later on in this chapter. And then she goes back and she tells Naomi she met a man whose name was Boaz, and he did all these things for her. And Naomi now, she realized at that point, he is a kinsman. I don't think that she even realized it. But God had it all prepared. So they're back there in beginning of barley season. The Bible says, and she had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, a family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Later on we're going to see that Boaz is a son of Rahab the harlot. And God blessed him as he blessed Rahab. And God has a plan for him and Ruth. And it's going to be part of the seed line of Christ. I mean, there's so much more ahead of us here, but I don't want to get ahead of us here. Go back. But that's what God sees. Ruth doesn't see that. Ruth is still just a babe in Christ, if you will. She's just learning about the God of Israel. And Ruth the Moabite has said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She was learning about the ways of God. Ruth didn't know the ways of God. She was raised a Moabitess. And so we find here that she's back in there. She's learning more and more about the ways of God. And she looks at Naomi and she says, we're poor and destitute in need of help. What are God's plans for those in need of help? We're widows. We don't have a husband. How are we going to survive? Naomi, surely, if God is who he says he is, and he wants to take care of us, he has made provisions for us in our situation as being widowed and destitute and poor. And she says, well, come to think of it, in the law, God has made provisions. It's called gleaning after the reapers. It's welfare on steroids. Because they have to work to get it. Amen. Got a plan, but not to for you to be lazy and just kick your shoes up on the coffee table and watch television all day and expect somebody else to take care of you. No, if you're willing to work, there's hope and there's help. She probably told her about in the law in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus in chapter 23, as God was making provisions for his people, he knew that they were always going to have the poor and the widows. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 22, the Bible says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, talking to anybody that had land and had harvest, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field. When thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and unto the stranger. I am the Lord your God. He says to them, when you get into the tight corners, don't harvest that, leave it. When some fall off, leave it. Because whatever falls off is more than you need anyway. Leave it for those that are poor and destitute and in need. If they're willing to get out and work and follow you around, let them have it. Wow. She might have even taken her over, because they would have had the Old Testament. They would have had the Pentateuch, the five books of the Old Testament. She would have taken her to the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy chapter 24, she would have, now again, Ruth is wanting to learn this. Ruth didn't know this. She wasn't raised in church. She didn't have anybody in her family. She was a first-generation believer in God, the true God. So she was reliant upon her mother-in-law to help her to understand these things. And so she would have taken her to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 17, when it says, thou shalt not prevent the judgment of the stranger, nor of the pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. Don't take advantage of the elders, what she's saying. What God's saying, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in the field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest thy grapes of the vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. And so now Ruth says, so it would be God's will, now that we're living back in Bethlehem and we're poor and destitute and widows, this is how God's going to take care of us. Ruth learns of what God would have her do. And you know what she does? She goes and settles in her heart and her mind, I'm going to do it. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. If this is God's will, if this is what we need to do, then God will provide for us. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm sure that God will lead me. Ruth did not know where she was even going. But she knew of God's will and God's expectations. And she said, I'm going to go do it. Even though I have to humble myself, because it was a humbling thing. You had to identify with the poor and the needy and the widows. You had to identify with those in need of someone else to help. But she said, I'm not letting pride keep me from doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to work. Amen. If that's what the work that God says we're going to do for Him to take care of us, I'm going to do it. She wanted to learn of God's expectation, and then she says, I'm going to do it. When you get saved, you learn of God's expectations. You get baptized. You learn of God's expectations. You join a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You become a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You become a witness. You use the talents that God has given to you, the spiritual gifts that God has blessed you with, and you use them in service to God. You learn to tithe, and you learn to give offerings. Why? Because I believe in God, and I understand God's expectations of my life, and I know it's what God wants me to do. So because I know it's what God wants me to do, I'm just going to do it. And God will bless you. And God will meet your need. And you'll have fellowship with God. Amen. Yeah. There's a lot to learn from Ruth. That's a whole lot to learn from Ruth. She says, this is what God wants me to do. I'm just going to do it. She went. The Bible says in verse 3, and she went. That's key. She left the house. She didn't know where she would find permission to reap. Even though it was the law of God, not everybody went along with the laws of God. Some would say, no, I don't know you. You can't reap in our fields. You're a Moabitess. I know what the Bible says about strangers, but he wasn't talking about Moabites. Jews, Hebrews hated the Moabites. The Moabites hated the Jews, the Hebrews. She didn't know where she could find permission. The Bible says in verse 7, when Boaz asked about her, the people that were overseeing the reaping said this, and she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She goes and begs. She pleads with them to let her reap. Let her glean and reap with the reapers of the sheaves. That's what the Bible said. That's, she came up to us. She had a Moabitess. She asked us. She begged us. The answer, she said, it was a Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now. She came early and she looks like she's staying late. Because she knows that's something she can do and it's what God told her to do. Something about that. Give it your all. When you know what God wants you to do, commit to doing it. She didn't wait for somebody to say, you bum, get out and work. She didn't wait for somebody to say, I'm going to repossess your house if you don't pay. She didn't wait for Naomi to say, I've taken care of you long enough. You better get out there and make some money. She didn't wait for that. As soon as she knew what God wanted her to do, and she realized it's something I can do, she committed to doing it. Yeah. Now, I love this. I want you to see that we're done here. We're done here. But she says, the Bible says here, verse 3, and she went. Look at the next two words. And came. And gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, it just so happened, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. She had no idea, but God did. You have no idea what will happen if you just commit to doing what you know God wants you to do. Be faithful to it. You have no idea, but God does. If she had not have went, she would have never came to that place. Somebody can shout, go ahead. If she had never committed to saying, God, I don't know a lot. I'm new at this. But I can understand how you've worked it out. It makes sense to me that I can work and glean after the reapers. And that'll give us everything we have need of. I don't know. I've never been taught this before. I didn't understand it. But now I understand it. And I know it's what you'd have me to do. I'm new in the land here. I'm a new Christian. I don't know a lot about how to do things. But I know this is what you have me to do. I'm going to commit to doing it. And I'm going to take full advantage of it. I'm going to go early. And I'm going to stay late. You know, too many believers come late and leave early. Do you know you miss out on a lot of fellowship? Well, I don't want to be bothered. You know, I'm just going to come in. I'll be the last one in, first one out, no one. Is that really what church is all about? Now, I appreciate you staying at least through the invitation. But there's more to church than that. This is God's plan. God's design for his people. It's a family. There's blessings. There's fellowship. There's food afterwards. Yeah. Because you don't go, you'll never find. She went, and because she went, she came to the place where God had blessings. God was working out all the circumstances. But if she had not have went, she would not have ever came. Start doing something. Do not waste opportunities that God has provided for God to bless us. Don't waste them. Just go. Just do. Just be committed. Because God wants to fellowship with you. He wants more than just a relationship. He wants to fellowship in that relationship. And he wants to meet your need. He wants to bless you. But if you never go, you'll never get to the place of blessing. What a powerful message. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. So much in the book of Ruth about this young saved Moabite and now has become a child of God and wants to enjoy all the blessings of a relationship with God. Are you enjoying that you have with God? There's fellowship. There's prayer. There's provisions. Not going to have a musical invitation, but there's an invitation going on right now. God spoke to you and there's a decision you need to make. I encourage you to make it right now. Whether you do it in your pew or you come to this altar, just make that decision. Commit to doing whatever it is that God has revealed to you that you need to do. You might be 10 years out. If you keep going, there's no hope. But you turn around at any point, and as soon as you turn around, there is hope because you're now going in the right direction. Get back to Israel. Get back to Bethlehem. That's where the blessings are, in the will of God. Anyone else? Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth in this book of Ruth, and God, for the example that you have given to us of Ruth, her zeal, her excitement, her commitment to learning and then doing whatever it is that you reveal to her to do. And I pray that we would learn that as well. Now I pray that you'd bless each one that's made a decision tonight. Help them to follow through with it. Be with us as we get ready to dismiss here. Get us home safely and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.